There's a cemetery in the city of Hanover in Germany that has become a tourist attraction, a cemetery of all places, because there is there an open grave. It's the grave of a wealthy, noble woman of the 1700s, Caroline the Ruling, if I'm not mistaken. And what's peculiar about this grave, it has an inscription that more or less reads like this: "This tomb was purchased for eternity. It shall never be opened." And it's the only grave that is actually open. There's a legend that says that this woman was agnostic, an atheist. She really despised all things religious. And as an ultimate act of defiance, wanted her grave to be inscribed with that line, "This grave shall never be opened," as if to say, "I don't believe in resurrection." And as I said, her grave is open. You can actually Google and you will find it, the open grave of Hanover. You will find pictures of it. What happened? Well, very simple. A birch seed ended up in the grave, looking for the light. He was able to go from in between the stones and gain strength and push his way through and move the very heavy granite slab that was covering the tomb. And now it's a huge, vigorous tree, and still you can see laying on its trunk that tombstone with the inscription, this grave will never be open. The Pharisees, the high priests, the Sanhedrin thought that Jesus' grave would never be open. They even put a guard, they sealed it with a heavy stone. But that grave is open, it's empty. And this is undisputed. I've been there. I went into that tomb. It's empty. I know some people dispute the fact, the why and how it happened. There's a series on CNN that always airs around Easter, Finding Jesus, Faith, Fact, Forgery. I don't know if you saw it. It's actually very good to use modern science to study the artifacts and archaeology related to Holy Scripture. Nothing wrong with that. But what's the pitfall? What's the temptation? It's always to say, well, whatever we cannot study scientifically, it must be myth, it must be false, an illusion. And obviously, resurrection is not one of the things we can study. By definition, it's something that goes beyond space and time. It goes beyond the realm of science. What do we have to say about the resurrection? How can we explain it? Well, let me quote someone who said, "The gospel does not explain resurrection. Resurrection explains the gospel." Resurrection is the good news. It's not an appendix, a part of our faith. It is the Christian faith. That's what the disciples preached from day one. They did not talk about Jesus' teachings, his moral principles. They did not preach about his miracles, not at first. What they announced was that he had died and had been raised. And we have a beautiful example in today's first reading, which is, I think, the first Easter homily ever. So allow me to cheat and just give you the homily that Peter gave that morning in the house of Cornelius, today's first reading. He stood up and spoke with an accent, I'm sure, because it was from Galilee, just like me. And he spoke about what? About Jesus of Nazareth. Not a doctrine, not a philosophy, a man. Jesus, Yahushua, a very common name in those days. From where? Nazareth, a little place in the middle of nowhere. Nobody knew anything about Nazareth. What happened to this Jesus? He says, how God anointed him. That's the key word, anointed. Christos, Messiah. Anointed, just like the kings, the prophets, the priests of the Old Testament, but much more. He goes on to say, he had the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, God, the Spirit of God, was with him in a powerful way. And that's why he did great things, healing and casting out demons and preaching and all of that. And we, Peter says, we are witnesses of that. They killed him in this very land. Few words. We have all the dysfunction of the world. Something is wrong with us. Something is wrong with this world if the anointed one has been killed. We can't say, I'm okay, you're okay. Something is wrong. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. But, Peter continues, God raised him. And we are witnesses. He appeared to us. We who ate and drank with him after his resurrection. If this doesn't take your breath away, you have not heard it right. They ate and drank with one who was dead. We take sharing food with someone for granted. It's something we do every day. No problem there. But with someone who was dead? Peter is saying that the resurrection of Jesus is not simply a moral thing. It's not simply that, you know, we feel that he's still alive. Even though he's not with us, somehow we feel his presence. His cause continues in us. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I saw him. I touched him. I ate with him. And I am a witness of that. And Peter bet his life on this. Nobody dies for a myth. Nobody is willing to lay down his life simply for a fable, for a story. But Peter was changed by the resurrection of the Lord. We should also be changed by it. Let me close with a story about a World War II veteran who had been gravely wounded in battle. He ended up losing his sight and limbs. He was confined to a hospital bed, unable to see, unable to move. He became very depressed. He lost all desire to live. Soon another veteran was assigned to his same hospital room. And immediately the new arrival, although gravely ill and wounded himself, began to befriend the poor, blind, and maimed veteran. And to cheer him up, he started describing for him what he was seeing through the window. And he said, you know, it's a beautiful day. The sky is blue. There are white clouds. There are children playing in the park, couples walking hand by hand, and so forth. These two wounded men connected so well that they began to feel hope again. They felt that life was still worth living. They recovered the desire to survive, to fight. Sadly, though, one day, the veteran who could see died because of his wounds. And so the bedridden, blind, maimed soldier began to feel despair again, until another roommate was assigned to his hospital room. And immediately he asked him, could you please describe for me what you see through the hospital window? And he said, there is nothing to see, just an ugly brick wall. What the first roommate had done was not to lie, but to be able to see beyond that wall. He was able to describe life as is, even though he could not see it firsthand. This is what Christ did for us on Easter Sunday. He has enabled us to look to glimpse for a moment beyond the brick wall of death and suffering. He has given us hope, the will to live. He has given meaning to death, and in doing so, he has given meaning to life. Happy and blessed Easter to all of you.